One of the challenges of raising children is just that you are raising children. They have yet to arrive at being adults, and you are in the process of teaching them and training them. And what that usually requires is a lot of training for the adults and parents as well, usually in the areas of patience and lots of different things like that. So one morning at my house this week, we have a I live in a two floor, so I'm on the second floor, and there's a banister around our stairs going downstairs. And after we have a shower, I throw my towels on there so they dry out. And I always tell my kids not to throw the towels down because they like to throw them down the stairs. And one morning, as I'm opening the gate and taking the kids downstairs after they've all brushed their teeth, I see all the towels on the ground, and in a very snarky, getting in trouble tone, I say, "Thomas, Elijah, who threw the towels down the stairs? I know you did it," and I get them in trouble. And they might have said they didn't do it, I don't really remember, but then my wife tells me that it wasn't them, it was actually Colette who was running around and throwing them over. So sometimes we like to jump to conclusions, and as we heard this scripture passage, and sometimes when we read scripture, we like to jump to conclusions and quickly think we know what the answer is or what the passage is telling about, and that can oftentimes leave us feeling a little foolish and assigning blame in the wrong location, kind of like me with my children, which will happen time and time again. So as we've heard this passage this morning, the point that Jesus is making is not quite as clear as we think. It's easy on this side and for us to point blame and just say, yeah, the Pharisees or the whole Jewish people eating, having all these food customs, of course, it's all clean, we can eat whatever we want. That's the easy solution, and just kind of move on. But Jesus, the point that Jesus is making, and the point that Mark is making in this passage, is not that. He's not just saying, okay, eat this food and all foods are clean, therefore everybody can eat pork now and all these different things. The point is that being clean, or in Scripture the idea of clean and being pure and holy and set apart, has nothing to do with external things. Has nothing to do with external things. That the being clean in Scripture, in Leviticus, and a lot of different passages in the Old Testament, the different regulations that were put in place were so that people could be purified before approaching God, because we can't approach God who is perfect. So these laws were put into place to remind us, to point us to the fact that there is a deeper issue at play. So the point is that being clean or unclean has nothing to do with external things and what goes in, but it's a matter of an individual's heart, of your heart and mine. That Jesus is proclaiming in this passage that the kingdom of God has come, and in coming in the kingdom of God, he is not just making, he's not just the king of everything, but he's also declaring all foods clean. But more than that, he's also opening up the hearts of all people, or he's opening up the message where the nation of Israel was once supposed to represent Christ, and it was just that nation. And now, what we see in this passage is that Jesus is opening that up to Jews and Gentiles. And most of us fall into the Gentile category here. So Jesus confronts what we're going to see in Mark chapter 7, verse 1 to 23 is our first story. And then our second story of Mark 7, verse 24 to 30 is our second story. In the first one, we have this idea of the traditional. Jesus is going to sweep away the traditions of the Jewish people, and he's going to remind them that it was never about the external, that it was always about the heart. And in the second encounter with the desperate mother, he's going to sweep away the distinction between Jew and Gentile and open up salvation and open up the fact that this message is for everybody. As we've kind of said before, in the Old Testament, as a reminder, as we go through, that these food laws and regulations aren't bad in and of themselves. They had a place and they were significant in the Old Testament. But what they were, just like the covenants that we talked about, they were kind of like signposts and direction maps pointing forward. And as Jesus comes to proclaim the kingdom of God, he says, I am fulfilling these things. So it's not that those signposts and these rules and regulations were bad, but when you arrive at the destination that you're trying to get to, the direction markers that pointed you there aren't important anymore. It doesn't matter that you saw the exit sign to get off on the Highway 400, because you've now arrived at your destination. What Jesus is doing when he comes to earth and proclaims the kingdom of God, repent for the kingdom of God is near, is that he is here. He has fulfilled these things. And he is coming to address the heart issue of our hearts are evil. And there's nothing that we can do on the external part of it to make it good. So verse 1 to 5, as we dig into this quickly, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law have come down to Jerusalem. This is the second time they've done it, at least that's mentioned. They did it in chapter 3, verse 22. And what they find in verse 1 and 2 is it says that they saw some, they didn't even see all of his disciples, they saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean hands. That's the first two verses. Now, we get brackets, okay, in the next two verses. So this is just kind of like an aside. This is giving us information because Mark, who is also writing partially to a Gentile population, wouldn't have understood as well what they mean. So they go on to give us the explanation of what the Pharisees and the Jews do. So the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, and it goes through all those things. So verse 5, so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, so why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders and wash their hands, or instead of eating their food with unclean hands? So the idea there, unclean, remember that word, it's going to come up again. Now Jesus isn't, you know, sometimes, depending on how we look at Jesus, some of us may think, oh yeah, okay, his disciples aren't washing their hands, so Jesus is probably just going to say, oh, you know, you're right, let's just go wash your hands, guys, let's make this, let's just, you know, all get along here, because that's what a good leader like Jesus does, he keeps everybody happy, right? No. But I don't think he comes in spite here, because as Jesus came, he really was proclaiming the kingdom. He was coming to direct people and change their hearts. Yes, there is definitely a reprimand in this, but this is what he says. They're asking about unclean hearts. And Jesus says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Wow. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are but rules taught by men. Verse 8. So I'm going to give you the quick progression here of what Mark is saying. What Jesus says is that first, your lips are far from, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. That's the first part. And then it says that you elevate the teachings taught by men. By doing this, you have let go of the commands of God, and now you are holding on to the traditions of men. And then in verse 9, it says, you have now set aside the commands of God. So first you just let go of them. Now they're just kind of off to the side and you're holding on to this. And we're going to skip down a few verses all the way to 13. And it says, by doing this, thus you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. The quick progression of, yeah, we have the word of God, the law, which is supposed to govern everything that goes on. But then what happens is you say that the law is good, but, you know, I think we got some better rules that we would like to institute. In the states, they have their constitution, and oftentimes we hear about, let's change gun laws or different things like that, but it's difficult to do that because they have the underlying constitution, and the Second Amendment says the right to bear arms. They can change that, so it's not like the Word of God exactly, but you can't bring in legislation that is against the Constitution unless you do these votes and all these kind of things. And in the same way, the Pharisees and teachers of the law were taking different rules in Scripture and they were elevating them above Scripture and not just elevating them above, they were letting go of Scripture altogether. So what they're talking about here is the priests did have to wash their hands before eating of the sacrifice. And they were actually allowed to eat some of the meat offered in sacrifice, and so was their family, as long as their family did those ritual cleansings. But what happens, and what was kind of passed on down the generations, is that now they wanted all Jewish people to do this, where it was never meant to be that. Now they say everybody has to do this. So as a little aside, the Pharisees sometimes get a bad rap, and rightly so, and the teachers of the law, but they didn't quite have as much pull. They had a lot of pull, but not as much as sometimes we give them credit for, in the sense that they have a platform that they're trying to push to the Jewish people so that they can continue to kind of reign over them. And one of the things that they were pushing is the idea of washing your hands and having these different rules and laws. Now, why were they doing this? The reason why the Pharisees and teachers of the law were doing this for the nation, for the Jewish people, was so that they would set up clear boundaries of what makes them different than everybody else. Okay? So they would say, you've got it, exactly what they're saying. You wash your hands, and the Jewish people do this and nobody else does. They set up these walls and boundaries so it's easy, including circumcision and all the different things in Scripture. And they enforced these and taught these and made this happen so that there was clear distinctions between them and everybody else. Here you are, and here is everybody else. And by following these, we are God's people, and we are doing good. But Jesus says, in the midst of that, you are hypocrites. And he gives the example. I won't go into the example. It's pretty straightforward in chapter 7 of, or maybe it's not. I'll quickly say what happens. Moses, so there was a law that you were supposed to take care of your parents. And in taking care of your parents, if you didn't want to do that, you could make a vow, essentially, to God that you would give over your stuff, and then you wouldn't have to take care of, or you could just give over your stuff, and then you wouldn't benefit from it. So they kind of found this loophole that if you want to take care of your parents, but you say, oh, I'm just going to give all my stuff to God, then I have nothing to take care of my parents with. He says, you can't do that, because God's law trumps the vow that you made. You can't just make vows because you want to get out of regulations that God has. That doesn't work. First and foremost is the laws and rules of God. This is what undergirds it. Because at the heart of it is that we have a heart issue, and that's what Jesus is saying. So even this morning in my own house, sometimes we use rules and laws to kind of make people do things. So before breakfast this morning, Thomas had dirty hands, and which often little boys do. And I said, can you go wash your hands? And he said, no. I said, well, can you please go wash your hands? No. Can you go wash your hands? No. Okay. I know. Thomas, I bet you went to the bathroom this morning, didn't you? And what are you supposed to do after you go to the bathroom? Wash your hands? That's right. Now go wash your hands. Okay. See, I had to get into putting in a scenario where there was already like this law or rule, but what he missed in that is that the heart of it is that his dad, who loves him and cares for him and doesn't want him to get all sorts of diseases that kids already have anyways, is telling him to go and wash his hands. And the heart of it is that I want him to be obedient to me. I don't want him to be obedient because of a law that I say or because I threaten him, because I'm going to give him a timeout, but I want his heart to be in tune with me. And obviously I'm a human and I'm sinful, so I have to be in tune with God, and that's where the raising children and the patience comes in. So as we go down in this passage, what Jesus is ultimately saying, he concludes in verse 14 and 15 and says this. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Jesus gives that example and he says, anything that goes into you, including these food laws, including food, including anything like that, that is not what makes you unclean. What you do, how you do it, what you eat, And then it goes on and says, I'm going to read 17. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Verse 18 says, "Are you so dull?" Because as we've found, the disciples don't always catch on to what Jesus is talking about very quickly. They always need this explanation on the side. And he asked in verse 18, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't get into his heart." That's the only time that we have the heart mentioned in this little part. "But into his stomach and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean." Now that didn't happen right away because you have very deep rooted cultural issues for thousands of years of food laws and all those different things. Verse 20, he went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and make a man clean." The solution isn't given in this passage, okay? The problem is identified. The problem is that our heart is unclean. But what we know and what we teach and what Jesus came as he came to proclaim the kingdom of God is that you need to repent because the kingdom of God is near. And we know that Jesus has come to solve our heart issue. What the Pharisees started with just a small little problem of, hey, a couple of your people aren't washing hands. Jesus turns the whole thing upside down and says, hold on a second. Don't worry about that. You guys, what we need to be focusing on, the big issues, is from what comes from within a man and a woman that makes us unclean. And these are things that we can't just set up walls around us to protect. These walls that separate us from other people, that make us look different, because these start on the inside of us. And there's nothing external that we can do. And he says, how, and my question, if we need something, a great application for this today and as we go this week, is to look at this list and to realize and to bask and enjoy in the grace of God, that if we have received grace, because that's the only way that our heart can be clean. It's not based on what we do. I like to do things. For me, it's easy to work. It's easy to keep going. It's easy to be active. It's hard for us to rest and stop and realize what God has already done. There's two explanations for religion that somebody has summarized. It's either do or done. And in religion, people think that this is what I got to do. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to tithe. I got to do this. But with Christianity and following Christ, it's what's already done. You don't do anything to add because Christ died on the cross for us.